Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
This morning is a Māori Report Sunday from the work party, and we had a fantastic time, and I've shared already a little bit about that, and so I'm not going to share much more. But just to quickly introduce a Māori, can I have that first one up? Thank you. And so for those of you who might be visiting this morning, Māori is a community development organisation, a school that was started by Marita Simpson in 2009, and I shared that story a number of weeks ago. I'm not going to do it now. It is one of our major mission supports from this church, and I just want to thank all of you for the way you do support. I estimated the other day that about $200,000 is being supported into Māori from this church every year now, which is an amazing mission contribution. And none of that money comes into LMC, and none of it goes through LMC apart from the small mission offerings that we might take up. It all goes direct into Māori, and the purpose of that is so that whatever happens in the future, Māori is going to be supported, whatever way it goes. And so this is Marita's family. Her mum and dad, Bill and Joyce Simpson, came to the work party with us, and just champions of God in this church. And then I was going to say Marita's four children. Well, Jazz down the bottom left is the adopted son. Fausta, little girl next to her, is a little girl that was given to Marita early in the year to foster. Her mother has been found, but it turns out that her mother has mental illness and is in a sad state. Marita is driving up from Kampala tomorrow to visit the police with the mum to find out what's going to happen to Fausta, but my feeling is that Fausta will continue to be fostered by Marita and by the Māori group. And then behind Fausta at the front, the two boys at the back, we've got Jeremy and Jerry, and they stay on the property. Jerry goes home on the weekends, and Jeremy stays on the property all the time, and again, Marita and the team look after him, and so they're a great group. Māori is up on the northwestern side of Uganda, just on the border of Lake Albert there near the Congo. And this is the property that we have there, a 40-acre property, again, which you've heard lots about. And that's what the work party goes to every year. And so that's the one of the entrance gates into Māori. The left house there is a new house built for one of Marita's long-term loyal staff members. A husband and wife and five children, and right at the back, left-hand side, you'll see Marita's house starting to be built. And so this is Marita's house as of this week now. The roof is on, looking grand, isn't it? And again, thank you so much for all of your support and donations into that. Behind the house there, you can see the school, the fence is the solar farm. And there's the start of her shower. And that's how far they were yesterday in regard to building her shower. Showers are outdoors. And how many people can see the lion poster on the right-hand side on the back wall there? I looked at that and I thought, no, that's not a window. And then I blew it up and it's a poster of a lion. Don't ask me why, but it is. So that's it. And that's the team that went over this year. And again, it was such a united team, such a fantastic team, and I want to honour each of the team members. Because of time, we're only going to hear from five of them this morning, but again, each of the team could get up and share just the amazing things that God did whilst we were there. And so that's it. So the first person that I'm going to ask to come up to speak this morning is Rob Howarth. Rob has been to Māori once before, so this is his second visit. And as you'll see with Rob and Duncan, as they get up, it's great to have some young men that have got some muscles because we made them dig the holes. So let's welcome Rob.
Be good.
Always, Greg. You made me submit my speech beforehand so you could edit it. So I couldn't say anything. But I've had 3 days to change it, so you've got the wrong one in your hand, mate. Too bad. Okay, thank you, everyone. Good morning. As Grace said, I'm going to share a few of my thoughts about what happened in Māori. and just what I think, what I felt, my trip over there for the second time around. So before I go on, just a word of warning. I'm going to show you a photo. Those with a weak stomach may not like it. Serious life-threatening injury happened to one of the team members while we're over there. I'll give you a warning beforehand. So if you've got a weak stomach, look away. Now, I was going to say, Grace told you the basics of the work we started off with, but he hasn't done. But anyway, I'll kick on. I just want to say as well, the trench team, I was part of that, but the work we did, 5 days to dig a trench, I think it was about 170-odd metres, really, really hard work, and everyone got stuck in, didn't complain, and just got the work done. Worst part was that we had to fill it in afterwards. It was 5 days to dig and 3 hours to fill it in. It was most disheartening. So we'll move on. Church. Church is interesting in Uganda. This is the first church service we had on the first Sunday we were there. And I've got to say, church in Uganda is very dangerous. Normally the only danger at church, as a family say, is me being here, because fair chance the roof is going to fall in. In Uganda, though, something else completely unexpected happened. We were there, everyone singing, it was quite nice, and then from the back of the church, I just hear this bang, bang, bang. I look around, it's one of the young blokes, one of the staff members' sons there with this lump of wood. And he's banging the ground, and I thought, it's a bit different, maybe he's trying to join in with the music or something. And then he gets a stick, and he goes like that, holds up a snake that he's just beaten to death that was crawling through the grass towards us. So I've always maintained church is not a place to be, and that's just confirmed that in my mind, well and truly. Next thing we did was Duncan's baptism. I think I surprised Duncan at this. Not overly religious myself, but I gave him my most sincerest congratulations. And I had to, because it meant something to him. And you've got to be honest, when you look at that photo, the view and the place it was held was absolutely spectacular. It really was very nice. Although, I think it's a bit of a princess because you wouldn't go down and get baptised in the actual Nile River itself. Apparently crocodiles and hippos are a bit of a danger, but I don't know, really. But I love that photo. It's one Marita's stitched together. And if you look, it's really hard, but in the background there's an island in the river and there's an elephant coming down to have a drink and a bit of a play in the river during the middle of it all. And actually, when I went through my photos, I obviously got a bit distracted because I started out with the baptism. And then slide the camera pans around and I'm just photographing the elephant, and then halfway sort of goes, oh, hang on, back to the photo, back to the baptism again. One of the other things I found out, Marita is the local Suki Suki Lala. She looks nice and relaxed and having fun there. 18 of the 20 speakers at the official school opening made mention of the fact that they only ever hear from Marita when she wants to get up and complain about something. That's all they ever hear. Although, might be a bit of hypocrisy going on, because this is Marita at the local pub one day, went down there. And I questioned her about that. She goes, "It's Jesus went to the pub, so it's okay." Is that true, Gray? Don't know. But she also claims it's relationship building with the local community. Highlight for me of the whole trip really was the soccer game at the official opening. That a game between the Māori staff and students, it's the Māori staff against the local district team, and I got picked on the team. Although some members of the team made mention of the fact that maybe I was a token white man up there. I like to think I earned my spot. Although I did get rather nervous when you saw the size of the crowd that stayed around to watch the entire game. It was very impressive, the amount of people that stayed there for the whole day, which was, I think, 6 hours, 7 hours in total. Typical Africa. Marita said 3, 4 hours, 7 hours, really. One of the things I did learn is that, yes, Uganda is very different, but there's also a lot of similarities that goes on. This is Inspector AU from the local police district headquarters. During the official school opening, she stood up and gave this wonderful speech that really resonated with me about the power of education, how it benefits children, flows on from the child then to benefit the community. How education directs people away from a life of crime and reduces the damage that domestic abuse causes in the community. It really was a speech that I thought, if you gave it over here in Victoria, be entirely appropriate. Then also I found out, well, I had that reinforced with me a few days later when Marita took a few of us up to the district headquarters and introduced us to the local divisional commander up there. And I asked him during the conversation, what are the three biggest issues facing Amari, Bulissa district? And he said, drugs, alcohol and domestic violence. I don't think anyone would argue that that's entirely relevant over here as well. It really is. All right, here's the warning. Look away if you're feeling weak in the stomach. Look at that. Life-threatening. I'm maybe unconscious right there, right that time. I'm not, Mum. Don't stress. I show this photo not to get sympathy for myself, but to show that maybe some members of the team have their priorities slightly out of whack. When this happened, Gray was nice and went and got Liv and Jess to help me out. Liv and Jess, who are both trained nurses, did some medical work. But two members of the team didn't assist, didn't help out. Instead, first thing they did was get out the camera to take a photograph. Chris, Jill Stewart, where are you? Same. Yes, you two ladies. In fact, I was just waiting for them to both run up and do the old selfie with me. Chris tried to claim that she didn't take too many photos this year. Apparently, she only took 2,000 photos. Only 2,000. So I went through my photos at home and I thought I'll show some photos of people working. And I realised not one photo of Grey actually doing anything. There was this one. There was that photo. There was that one. And there was that one. And I also noticed, actually, Ross, feeling a bit used and abused, mate? You're always doing some work. But Grey always stood around. I will give him credit, though. He obviously did one thing. It's the only photo I've got of Grey doing anything remotely like physical labour. And he was obviously active at some other stage as well. Because I found that one day. I'm just jealous, Bill. I really am. But thankfully I had some people who weren't hard for a bit of physical labour. I love this. I love soccer. This is a school kids a couple of days before the official school opening. Forget classes. Teachers had them out there. They marked out the entire full-size soccer field and had the kids etch the lines into the dirt, ready in preparation for the game. I just looked at that and I thought, could you imagine anything like that happening over here? No way. But the kids all brought their own hoes and spades in from home and hooked in and got it done. One of the things we do at the trip is every day we have morning devotions. And on the last day, Gray asked us, what are you going to take away from this trip? And I thought about it. And I thought, what am I going to take away? Duncan and Julia's love of the selfie. That's all those two did. Every photo I reckon they have would be them two in front of something. They absolutely loved it. And driving around with them everywhere, I know that that's what they did. But I'll be serious for once now, Gray. What did I take away from Amari? Not someone's mobile phone, that's for sure. I took away the great relationships, fellowship we had with all the Amari staff and students. It really was a great trip. Thank you.
That was great. Just so you know, Rob talking about the visiting the local police station. Rob is a policeman, so he enjoyed doing that. The next person I'm going to ask to come up and speak is Don Bethune. Don has been in our church for about a year, and this is his first trip overseas to Uganda. And it was just great having you, Don. Go for it. Be nicer than Rob, please, okay?
That one's hard to keep up to. Morning. Just a quick one. Graham's message a few weeks ago about Marita. I was thinking about that afterwards, about her vision and perseverance with it. But then I thought, she's the only one that could have done it, really, with her background of teaching from Joyce, what they've gone through. She's got been brought up in a Christian household. She's got the passion for teaching. She's got Bill's determination. She's got the compassion from both of them. She's the likely one to have all those skills to be able to put all that together for Amari. My photos are a bit similar. Whoop. Every morning at 8:30, the kids have their anthems that they sing, their prayers. They start rolling up at school at 6:45. Not happening here. Poor Bill. Sorry, Bill, I had to put that in. You know who the troublemaker that did all that. Have to put Joyce in. This was while that was happening. You think she's smiling, but it's actually a grimace. And her exact words were, "Oh, Bill, you don't have to do everything he tells you." The trenching team down there again. I had a good look on the computer this morning at home, and I'm sorry, Rob. Behind Olivia is Graham, and he does have a shovel in his hand. Yeah. I don't think he's doing anything with it, but it's there. The amazing thing is all the bricks, that brick machine that they've got, all these bricks there for future buildings, and they just all slot together. It's absolutely amazing how they put them together. Better system than what we have. A couple of the huts out in the countryside. That one's very well cared for. They sweep all the soil out the front so that there's no sticks, leaves, everything like that. They really care for them. One of the markets in one of the villages, they're everywhere. MasterChef Uganda. When I was going over there, I had visions of losing around about 5 kilo. They destroyed that. I'll put what they put together for our meals, a little bit like a miracle that Jesus fed the multitude. That was, don't know how you did it. Really. The kids with their morning breakfast, they all get that plastic mug with like a porridge and all sit out every morning. And there's always a chook or a dog in the photo. That was the second day we were there and taking the cable out, and that was very heavy. On our Sundays, we'd go to the Nile Safari Lodge for lunch. That was fantastic. The best thing about that, the toilets had push buttons. You don't realise what you miss. The Aussie flag at the official school opening, and that's some of the parents sitting there. That was an awesome day. The soccer match, that's only part of the crowd. While the official speeches and that were going on, the gates were locked. Before the soccer game started, there was about 200 kids outside the gate that they could let in afterwards. And that's only about half of them. That was everywhere. That soccer match, by the way, was probably the best bit of PR that Amari ever did, and the only one that didn't consider it important was Marita. Someone who normally stands up here does a lot of politically incorrect... Well, says a lot of things. He turned around and said, "That's Idi Amin." At the function. I had to put that one in. This was very good. This is the staff dedication, the staff and all the workers. You don't realise that they're all around there until they're all lined up like that. There's the token dog, always gets in there, and that'll be near Marita. Back at the trench, the little boy that's digging with the spade is Jeremy. On his left leg, that's up a little bit awkward, he has a brace for the whole leg. He was down there by himself, or not by himself, but came down there of his own free will, did that about four nights in a row after school, and he'd get down deeper in the trench as he got down and be down about to his knee. Well, I don't know how he did it, but he'd still work like that. I won't go more on Jeremy because Rob and Duncan are going to go on to that one. I mean, Duncan and Julia. And that dreaded trench. The cable's in it now, and that's when it got filled in. That's it. Oh. One last little one. Just, I got to meet Team Nelson. That was pretty awesome.
Thanks, Don. That's fantastic. Julia, I'm going to ask you to come up if you wouldn't mind. Julia and Duncan went over, first time ever, and I've asked Julia just to share a little bit about her fears, because she certainly went over with a whole lot of fears. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And you've come back totally healed.
I'm so happy now.
There you go.
Good morning, church. This is my worst fear, more than... I just found out this morning that I didn't have to share the talk if I don't want to, but I thought my impression was that everyone has to give a talk, so now it's too late, I have to say something. That is my worst fear. You know the little millipede that we got here? I just, you know, I really scared of them, but... That one, we're still checking now, looking at it. My fear, before we decided to go to Uganda, was all the bugs and all the crows and things that I usually not have to face it when we're here. Even though I came from Thailand, but I didn't remember any of those when I was young that I had to face, you know, all those things. but yeah, that was like every morning when we have the breakfast or at night when we had dinner, I had to, we sit around on the plastic chair and everyone would just sit there and enjoy and talking about, you know, what's happening. But I had to put my feet up just to make sure that they're not come near my feet and just... eating in the position that maybe no one really noticed it, but Duncan really noticed it. Yeah. And then at night, that's why we had to go to bed early, because I didn't want to walk through them, you know, like accidentally stepping on some of them. So they're just everywhere. This is called a millipede, right? It's big one, yeah. And Rob was talking about that snake when we were having the Sunday church, the first Sunday. That was actually the body. We found it later. And my other fear was sickness. I thought, you know, I just pray for one thing that, please God, you know, this trip don't make me have any sickness or anything, because I want to enjoy it fully, every bit of it, and I didn't want to get sick. And praise the Lord, I didn't get sick. So that this little boy, he got malaria, and he was crying and lying down waiting for someone to pick him up. And, you know, when our children are sick here or we're sick here, we go straight to hospital and lying in a comfy bed. And then we complain about it, that we are sick and this and that. But that, I'm not sure whether he's going to be taken to hospital or not, or just waiting for, you know, it to get better. Anyway, I feel sorry for some of us that got sick. Were you sick now? No, I didn't worry too much about Duncan, because I'm more concerned about those bugs and crawling things and living conditions. And we got the last week of the on Saturday we have privilege to visit the family that we sponsor, our sponsor children, and one of the boy that we sponsor, that's his grandmother, and his parents went somewhere to work, so he and his four siblings staying with this grandmother. She's very, very old, and she didn't seem very well, and she had a sore eye. And she was asking Duncan, and we had one of the teachers translate what she needs. And she said she has a sore eye, and she just needs something to drop into her eyes. And we didn't have it with us when we went. And I already love my husband, and I love him more when he make an effort to mention that he wanted to go back and give her something. I didn't say that to him at that time, but you know, it's make me realize that that little kindness, you know, just want to go and give her something. What was it, darling, that you gave? Yes, I don't know what it is, but anyway. we went back that afternoon, and Duncan showed one of the older sibling how to drop it, and you know, the position where how she hold it. And that's where our shower is. That my, you know, I was already, apart from lots of things that I was always looking forward, is to have a shower. Even though you can't make it hot or cold or warm, you know, it's just looking forward for that moment. Even though the water is not that soft. And I'm not, I think I feel like I was cheating, because you're not allowed to shower a lot because if you don't have a lot of water, but I feel like I shower more than I supposed to. Sorry. But that's always something that I look forward to, just to have a proper shower. Not proper shower. I used to get upset when my family members shower at the same time as me, and it's make the water cold and hot and hot and cold, you know, and I used to say, no one shower at this time because I'm having one. But after I came back from Uganda, I never complain again. That's a matter. And what I fear the most is the living condition. Did you see our beds? And we have a few things in our room, like beds, lots of them, lots and lots. And if you see under the door, there's a gap, so anything could just crawl in. Anything. Even a snake, I think, can come in too if they want to. But every night I will ask Duncan, please spray every gap. Don't worry about up there. I can cope, you know, but little gap. So I think we used up our first insect spray bottle that you gave us in the first few nights, all gone. So so he sprayed until, you know, I couldn't smell anything anymore, only that spray. And I just realized that here, you just go to bed. You don't have to worry about anything, you know. That's... And this is embarrassing. before we went, I was thinking of that maybe I will miss my food. Maybe I will miss the little taste of Thai, you know, a little taste of chili. And then guess what? I didn't have to use any of those bottles. As soon as we got there, we went to the supermarket and I found 2 packets of... fresh green chili. I was so happy. I was so very happy. And I took that with me and it kept very well last me for 2 weeks, so I was so happy. And I didn't finish up all of those, so I brought the bottles back. And the fear that you're going to miss something and you're not going to have something, I have a strong faith that God is already prepared and already prepared everything for me that I don't have to worry anymore. Food, the food, thanks to Chris and Jill, I thought I would lose some weight. And when people saw me on the photo, they said, you didn't lose weight, you gained. And I said, well, I'll tell you why. And it's like when I walk in the restaurant, the first staff, and they saw me, oh, you put on weight, but you said you're supposed to lose weight. I said, no, I thought I would lose some, but I didn't. Because I never felt once hungry. I never felt like needed because Chris and Jill's always in the kitchen and prepare 4 or 5 meals a day. So I didn't feel anything that I was craving for apart from that chili. So that's the porridge or the maize. I know that's what they eat and every single day. I mean every single day, like for breakfast, morning tea. So I feel very blessed that we have everything here. We can have greens and herbs and all sort of things that we can eat. Yeah, I know I'm going to finish soon. And talking about food, that little Tic Tac box has got flies in there. That's what they snack on. Yes, but I haven't tried that one yet. I tried the others thing. And then what they have for lunch every day is beans and cassava. The cassava, I have taste of both. Cassava tastes like sand, like you're chewing gluey sand. Yeah. And one of our sponsor, child, Jeremy, said, please don't eat. You won't like. You don't like. And I said, I want to try a little bit. So I take it from his bowl. He said, no, you won't like. And then... Well, I love the bean bits, but not the cassava. And that's Jeremy. He was so happy to have just a fish head. And I think Pastor Graham and Ross, when they went out, they bought the fish for them. And I said, why not for me? Why only for them? Yeah. But so happy to see them eating it. And that's it.
Thank you. Give it to Duncan. Thanks, Julia. And Julia really did have a lot of fears when she came. And I was amazed as I watched her work her way through her fears. You did a great job, Julia. Well done. Duncan, come and share with us, please. Let's welcome Duncan as he comes.
Thank you, church. Lovely to be here. Although I'm a really big guy covered in tattoos, I'm actually the biggest sook in the world. I have a disease that I got from my dad, which is crying at every minute. And it seems that since I've come back from Uganda, I cried everything. And I was talking to a mate yesterday saying, it's weird, like since I've been back, everything's affecting me. Everything. At work, you know, someone's unhappy and I'm like, okay, let's talk about that. And, you know... I just tear up at every minute. So I thought today, Duncan, try and be tough, be like Rob, you know? But if I cry, just cry with me, all right? Okay. So here we go. For me, the biggest thing in Uganda was heroes for me. I had a lot of heroes. People from Uganda, people from Australia were heroes to me. And pride. A lot of people had a lot of pride in what they do in Uganda. This was us visiting one of the host families of our sponsor child. And it was amazing. We drove out into the middle of nowhere to get to this spot. And I was thinking, where do these people live? And then out of the blue, they rocked up with these plastic chairs on a bicycle so that we could sit down. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, why have they gone to this effort? Where have they brought them from? And we're going to sit down in their hut because they were so proud to have us in there. And I just couldn't fathom that concept that the simple things for us, and they do this for us. It's just, it was incredible. It was a real amazing thing. And to bring it on that old bike that's tied together with tape and flat wheels is just amazing. This is the lady who has the sight problem, as Julia mentioned before. She's a hero to me. She looks after her kids or her grandchildren in this little hut. Behind the wood is the bedroom. There's no walls. There's just a bed behind that wood. I don't know why it's there, because it's not really, you know, it's quite see-through. But the kids sleep on this piece of old black plastic on the ground. She's a hero. She's amazing. She must be 85 plus, nearly blind, and taking care of these children while the parents were away for 2 months working somewhere else in Uganda. Amazing people. This man here, he is the grandfather of our sponsor child, Suzanne. And he's a hero in his village. When we arrived to his little village, the whole community came out pushing him in his wheelchair. He asked us for donations for a new wheelchair, and it's something on Julia and my agenda to help him out with that. And again, he is disabled. The parents of the two kids have died, passed away. And of the six kids plus two nephews, he takes care of them personally while his wife is out collecting seashells for their only money, which gets ground up for bird food. He is amazing. He is an absolute hero, inspiring me every day. These kids are heroes. They walk, like Don said, at 7 o'clock in the morning, 36 degrees when they go home, barefoot in the sand. And they walk along to get educated because they see what they've been given. The gift from God that has been given for these kids is amazing. And everyone here who sponsors someone, you're all amazing. You're all a hero to me because these kids are getting fed, they're getting educated, they're getting cared for, they're getting medicine. It's amazing what you're doing. And I can only urge, if anyone is not sponsoring, please get on board because it's amazing what it does. When I heard Graham's message a year ago, I couldn't connect. I was like, yeah, sponsors, you see it on the television all the time. When you see these kids, when you see them, when you feel them, when you hold them, you know where your money's going. It's incredible. It really is incredible. These kids are heroes just for being there and doing it every day. This little boy, Jeremy, he's a real hero. We sponsored Jeremy and we feel very privileged to sponsor him. He just jumped right into our hearts. He, a very short part on Jeremy, you know, his dad is a drunk, abusive. No, I don't know if he's abusive. I shouldn't say that. I'm assuming that. He's drunk. He's not a good caring father for Jeremy. Jeremy has the courage to run away from him and come to Marita. He had the courage to run, and I drove to his house. I'm talking, must be about 8 or 9 kilometres. And he came by himself to knock on Marita's door and say, please take care of me. I want to be saved. I want to be in a safe place. This kid is going to be someone really special. He's smart, intelligent, and loving. We took him back. We went to visit his father. Wow, that was hard, sitting in his father's hut. And I was telling him, you need to be a better father. I couldn't do it. Someone said, just tell him. And I said, okay, you're a drunk. It's not good. This kid's lovely. He's going to be someone. He's special. Do something. Change your life. And I said in front of him, Jeremy one day is going to be someone special and he's going to come back and he's going to help you. He's going to change your life. So you don't give up on him. And Julie and I will never give up on him. And we took him back to where he grew up on the fishing village. And we just saw him so happy in his childhood setting, sitting in a boat, just playing in the sand. And that's him, as Don said, helping us. He found an old motorbike helmet and wore it all day. I've got 10 motorbike helmets in my garage. What a fool am I? This little kid finds an old one and wears it all day like it's the prize toy. Amazing. The workers who were there, they were all amazing. Every day, working so hard, building Marita's house. This was for the function. They had just killed a cow. But, you know, this is what they do. They have to do it themselves. They don't have butchers. They do it themselves. And when they go to a function, they dress up. And they've probably got the only one good set of dress clothes, but they wear it with pride. All of them look so wonderful. The pride of the countryside. This was just a quick trip down the Nile. And what I was amazed was, I've been to Thailand many times and I see so much rubbish in the rivers and plastics. And what I couldn't believe was that Africa, the water was so clean. There was no rubbish. I think we saw one plastic bottle. And they're very proud of what they have. And I think we should all go there and visit it and embrace it and see what they do, because they're very proud of such a beautiful country. They really, really are. And that was my baptism. Nothing to do with heroes, but I'm just really grateful, Graham, to say yes. When I asked Graham, I just really want to be baptized in Africa. Don't know why, I just felt it. And Graham said yes, and I thank you for that. It was a lovely day for me. It was a real special occasion, one that I'll remember forever. This little boy, what a hero, fell off a motorbike on his way to school on a taxi. Really sick, and I just want to say big shout out to the girls who took care of him, Jess and Liv. You know, they're heroes, the way they went about caring for this little boy, giving him medical need, and they were really focused on him. Our team handing out snakes to the kids, and I think, you know, our staff, just the faces they had handing it out, just so much happiness to see that a little snake dipped in their corn porridge. That's their corn porridge, and they would just dip it in and suck it off, and they didn't want to eat the snake. They just kept sucking the porridge off the same snake until it dissolved. Paula was amazing. Now, I have to point out this photo. Paula was amazing. She's a quiet achiever. She doesn't say a lot, but she's always working, and she's always teaching, and she's always giving. Now, this photo, she's just putting shoes on a little girl, but this might have been the 150th person that she did it for that day. And it must have been 40 degrees in that hut. She was sweating, and just the sand that's in the air, if you rub your neck, it's just sandy sweat. That would have been a terribly hard job. Paula, you're an absolute hero for doing that. Amazing, really, really amazing. Dolph, amazing. This man just works tirelessly. Up early in the morning, he's out there. Late at night, he's there. When we're sitting there going, oh, my back's sore from digging, Don's going, yeah, I've got one more job to do. Dolph was always out there, and he's my coffee buddy, someone to drink coffee with. Dolph, you're amazing. You really are a real hero. This man here who spoke before, I'll be quick. I know time's running out, guys, but he was really amazing, you know, hardworking, and the fact that he gave his time to play soccer with everyone was just really wonderful to connect with the local people as well. And he is a man. He is a real hero. This bloke here is just incredible. He really is. In previous years, Rick's done the photographs, and this year it was bestowed on me only because I brought a camera. I'm not a photographer, but he was by my side all the time, helping the kids laugh and giving me tips on how to take photos. But when you weren't watching, Rick's always out with the kids. He is amazing with the kids. The kids love him. And he's out there and he doesn't boast about it. He just goes and does it. He's a real hero. My wife's a hero. To me. He's a hero. Not feeling 100%. Out there every day, following us wherever we went, being involved, supporting us, giving us love, giving us support, giving us encouragement, someone to talk to. It's amazing in the heat that we're in. For you to get up there every day and do what you did was just incredible. Our leadership team, thank you very much. You guys are amazing. Now, I know that Graham might not have been seen digging, but he was working like a horse. It was amazing. He is always thinking and he plans everything, and we could not do anything if Graham wasn't constantly thinking ahead and planning ahead for us. It would not have happened. And the biggest hero of all. None of it would have happened without this lady. She's amazing. She's just gold. Love her. Didn't know I took that photo, did you? That was Dolph sitting there. And just, I just want to finish on saying, it says here, don't go beyond this point. It's strictly prohibited. You've got to go beyond that point. We've got to go beyond that point for Amari. They're amazing. The team was amazing. This experience was amazing. The people are amazing. And please go. Be involved and donate and help. Thank you, guys.
Paula, thank you, church, for being patient, but I know Paula's is short, and you don't have to be short. I'm doing that. I'm allowed to do that. Oh, thanks. There you
are. Hi. Firstly, I'd like to thank Pastor Graham for encouraging me to face my fears and get up here and talk to you. You're really awesome. My first trip was in 2014, and I'd seen the work party reports from previous years, and I thought that while it would be a good thing to do at that time, I didn't feel with my family and financial situation that I could. But then in 2013, the flyers came out calling for expressions of interest, and God gave me a push, and I took that leap of faith. Arriving in Africa for the first time was almost like landing on another planet. There was so much to take in, and it was like an assault on all the senses, especially in Kampala. I guess one of the most noticeable differences for me in returning was knowing what to expect and not feeling constantly shocked by the environment. Once you arrive at the Amari compound, you're in a bit of a bubble. There is a real feeling of safety and peace. It is quite removed from what you experience when you're out in the towns and villages, and especially in the urban areas, which are really chaotic. When I arrived back at Amari this year, there were obvious physical differences: the new buildings, the extra classrooms, staff accommodation and the like. The change in the landscape as a fire had gone through the property, burning all the long grass and shrubs, and this allowed us to really see the scope of the property. But for me, the most noticeable difference was the difference in the children. There were more of them, they were bigger, and on this trip I got to spend more time interacting with the children and building relationship with them. And it's amazing to see the growth and development in those 3 years. Seeing the growth in my two sponsored children was fantastic, but the story that really stood out to me is really Jess's story. Jess is off travelling at the moment, and she's given me permission to share this with you. So Jess is Nick's younger sister, and she's just a beautiful young woman, and she has such a big heart for these children. And Jess is determined to change the world, one little foil package of treats at a time. And if you were there, you'd know what it's about. Jess first went to Amari in 2013, and while she was there, Kenneth was brought in, and that's Kenneth behind her. He was brought in by his father, and his father's disabled and had walked for miles to bring him in to try and get medical attention. Kenneth had a severe skin condition and was covered in sores from head to toe. This broke Jess's heart, and she used some funds she had to send him down to Kampala, where he was able to get appropriate medical care. Over time, his skin condition was healed, and when he was old enough, Kenneth was accepted into Amari to start school. Jess became his sponsor. He's now a healthy, happy, shy little boy. He comes from a large family, and I think he has about 8 siblings. His father's disabled, and no one in his family works. I think here in Australia, we'd call them generationally welfare dependent, except in Africa, there's no welfare. Over the years, Jess has tried to support the family in order to better Kenneth's circumstances. She's given money to Marita to purchase land on Kenneth's behalf. This land could be used for the family to grow food to either sell or to feed the family. But this money's set in the bank for a couple of years because his family would prefer to have 2 blocks of land, and I think waiting for that money to arrive. So as most of us do for our sponsored children, Jess took some gifts for Kenneth, some clothes and books and toys. And when we went out for the home visit, she took food and gifts for the family. But the next day, a letter was delivered to Jess from Kenneth's family. This letter was a list of things the family wanted Jess to provide for them. It included land, a house, furniture, crockery, cutlery, clothes and food. Needless to say, Jess was a little bit upset, but mostly I could see she was really discouraged. She so wanted to help this family, but it just seemed impossible. As I thought about this, it really hit me how important our sponsorship is. The poverty in Africa is just overwhelming, and as individuals, we can't fix it. But through our sponsorship and through the amazing environment that Amari provides for these children, we can provide the opportunity for each child to see a different future, to know that they are loved and valued, and to have hope. The children at Amari have a light that shines out of them, and while some of this can be attributed to the provision of two good meals a day, I know that there is so much more that is poured into these children. The food nourishes their bodies, but their little souls are fed with God's love every day. These children are blessed by our sponsorship, and it really is doable. When I first heard about Amari, I really could not afford to sponsor a child. Then someone at my life group suggested that we sponsor a child as a group. So we took on the sponsorship of Winnie. That's Winnie up there. So it was less than $10 per month per person for us to do that. And we now have the privilege of seeing Winnie grow into a beautiful, confident young girl. And then during my first trip to Amari, I met Daphne. She was 3 years old at the time and is the daughter of one of the staff. Daphne attached herself to me during my stay and we became very close. When she was old enough to start school, I, along with two other friends, took on Daphne's sponsorship. So now for under $40 a month, I'm making a difference in the lives of two beautiful children. I feel incredibly blessed to have had the opportunity to visit Amari not once but twice, and I'd go back in a heartbeat. So if you're thinking it's something you would like to do, I'd encourage you to go for it, but you don't have to go to Africa to make a difference. Thank you.
I want to thank again the team for this year, amazing team, and I can't stress with you enough just the importance of short-term mission trips. I know the ones that have gone over to New Guinea with Dave and Beryl have been impacted. I know the ones that have gone up into the top of Thailand have been impacted. Going on a short-term mission trip is just an amazing thing that brings you a brand new focus, and as you can see from all of us, it impacts us in different ways and different things. So if you want to go, next year we will be going again in June, and later on we will be putting out another intention or expression of interest slip, and we encourage you to fill that in. Inside your notice sheet this week is information on Amari, just the latest report from Marita, and also some sponsor kids that need to be sponsored. I don't stop asking, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not, but I also appreciate how generous you are, so I don't want you to think that we're just forever pushing something. If God puts it on your heart, then I'd like you to be obedient. But again, thank you so much for your support, for us, for Amari, and for just the work that's been done. And again, team, you did an awesome job. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll just have a song. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for Marita. We thank you for Amari. We thank you for, Lord God, just the richness of that. And Father, your word tells us that we need to witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And Father, I know that you want us to focus on our neighbours as much as you want to focus on overseas. And Lord, I also know that at Amari, we are making a difference. We are seeing a village impacted. And Lord, we might not ever get to see the fruit of that, but we know that in generations to come, there will be that fruit. And so we pray for each child. We pray for each staff member. We pray for those that, Lord God, have given so much and are giving so much. Lord, I pray that as we give, that we would see your name continue to be extended throughout this world. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name.